Hallelujah to the Lord. I'm so thankful that you're here. Welcome to New Beginnings Fellowship. And it's very, very possible, all of those you listening in through podcast, get ready because you may hear a shout. It's very, very possible this could be the last sermon in this series. Discover who you are. And I can hear the shouts around the world right now. God be praised. God be praised. I could preach on this forever. I'm not being smarty about it. This is just the Lord. It makes such a difference. But I'm going to try my best to finish this today. Father's Day next week, we're going to have a great time. Mustard Seed Dads will be in the house. And then the next Sunday after Father's Day, we're going to start a new series on rest. And it just really follows this. You need to discover who you are so you can rest. It's all a progression, so you can't miss any of this. And it's, of course, available on podcasts, and we got CDs, so don't miss out on it. Catch it. Okay, here we are. I just got to announce that God loves the word impossible. He really does. He loves the word impossible because he shows himself mighty. And the Bible's very, very clear that with God, all things... Let's all say all things. All things are possible. All things are possible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. With God, nothing is impossible. And it's the Jesus factor. The Jesus factor is the difference. We've been studying this, discover who you are, and part of the main scripture is out of Romans 12. And it talks about how that we are to be renewed in our mind, that we are transformed. Okay, we're not to be conformed to the world. But we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so that's a big part of this series, is getting our human mind in agreement with the spiritual mind, because Jesus, okay, is in us. The Spirit of the living Christ dwells within us. And so the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And if you know Jesus, you have the mind of Christ. And part of the progression, the excitement of this adventure and this journey is getting our human mind to agree with what the Word of God says, what the Spirit of mind of Christ says. And when that happens, there's a lot of power that takes place. There's transformation that takes place. I want to encourage you in this, because sometimes you may be listening to this series and you'll say, well, I've got to really study hard or try hard to be transformed. And that's just wrong. That's wrong. Our part is to agree with the Word of God, agree with what God's saying, practice by faith saying yes to what Jesus says versus what the world, our senses say. But we get to renew our mind that way, but it's the Lord that transforms us. The Lord does the transforming. You don't have to transform yourself. Okay? God does it. He does it. Our part, and I've tried to make this very, very simple, because that's the way I think. But our part is to see Jesus. I want to tell you, and I'm going to hold up the Bible here. When you see Jesus in here, and Jesus is all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, and even when you don't see his name, you can see him. Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And I want to tell you, when you see Jesus in the Word of God, when you hear Jesus through the Word of God, I want to tell you, the Lord, that's how you get your mind renewed. The Lord transforms you. He does the changing. Okay, we don't change ourselves. I want to tell you, he does that. That's a part of what resurrection life and transforming takes place. When you hear the word, see Jesus in the word, hearing him, esteeming him, he transforms us. It's very, very important in this journey. Because humans tend to think from problem to problem. And we tend to, there's a tendency, until you fall in love with the Lord and begin to walk with him and practice his presence, series on that last year, that's part of this progression. But before you learn to enjoy the Lord's presence in the journey of love life with him, there's a tendency to kind of float through life the way regular humans that don't know God, the way they float through life. And you kind of begin to seek God from problem to problem. And you treat God like the 911. Lord, I just need you to be a first responder. When I get in trouble, I want to call and you come rescue me and then let me go on and live my life. And when I have more trouble, I'll call on you. Now look, I want to tell you, he loves us so much, he will help us. But that's not the type of living. That's not the God kind of living that he paid and saved you for. And so the emphasis here is that let's live the life that we were saved to live. That we were born again to live. Now, I want to tell you, that's an exciting life. I'm going to address that in a little bit. But don't get stuck on projects. Because there's a tendency to think, well, as soon as God helps me with this project in my life, then I'll walk with the Lord, and then I'll enjoy the Lord as soon as he helps me with this project. Well, I want to tell you, if that's your mindset, you'll have project after project lined up in your life, and you'll never enjoy, because your destination is enjoying the journey. If you're enjoying the journey, God will do the transforming that he wants to do. And so it's important. There's nothing too big or too little for God. But the way that we receive the Lord working in our life, it's not by gritting our teeth or flexing our muscle to try to make something happen or make God do something. It's in the receiving. And when we humble ourselves and we enjoy his love life, he's free to do what he wants. Now, how simple is that? Okay, there's nothing too big for him. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it to you like this because this follows the economy of God, is that the bigger the project is in your life, the easier it is for God. The bigger the project or the bigger the mountain is in your life that you're facing, the easier it is for God. Easier it is. That's God's economy. I don't have time to talk about it. I'll just mention that there was a, you know, when the Lord fed 5,000, that there was a number of loaves. And then there was another time that he multiplied the food, and it was to a larger crowd. And he had fewer loaves. Isn't that interesting? Well, that doesn't add up, not in the human mind. Even in the miracle sense, we'd say, well, now bigger crowd, bigger, more loaves. No, no, no. The bigger crowd, the less loaves. Isn't that interesting? Because that's the economy of God. And I'm here to say something to you for your life to try to encourage you that the bigger the situation is in your life, the easier it is for God. The tendency is for us to say, God, this is bigger than me, but I trust in you. Now, I want to tell you, that turns the valve. Lord, what you say, I agree with. This is bigger than man, bigger than you, but this is what you say. Now, I want to tell you, that's powerful. And you know what Tim tends to do, and you may tend to do this too, sometimes on the smaller things, we say, oh, okay, God, I got this one. Right. Yeah, I've been here before, and I've seen, yeah, I got this one, God. And so I want to tell you, really and truly, when it comes to the bigger things, I rush to depend on the Lord. Oh, God, yes, this is your, yeah, now I renounce the mountain, I do what you say, but I'm trusting you. But when the little things, and I tend to try to do my mistake, I make the biggest mess out of those things. Okay? And so I'm telling you, let faith, let these principles that we've showed you, he wants faith to be an active part of your Christian life. Little things, big things. It's not too small, he wants to be a part of your life. It's not too big, he wants to be a part of your life. Same principles, same way. Let's operate by faith and depend on the Lord and trust in the Lord. Involve the Lord in all the areas of your life and watch what God does. Yes. There's an emphasis that I want to put on this, and it comes out of John 20, 23. And I don't think we have that. We have that up? Okay, let's look at that right quick. Thank you. There it is. This is right after resurrection, and they received the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus said, and this is very, very important. You receive the Holy Spirit. This is important for the flow of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit in your life. This is important. Because this can shut down the flow or the walk of the Spirit in your life. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they're retained. Now I want to tell you, unforgiveness can shut it down. for you to come to the place where you don't forgive, or you come to the place you say, well, this person's offended me, and you know what? That's the way that's going to... I want to tell you, that shuts down the flow of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, all of the kingdom operates by love. Love forgives every time. Love forgives. If you're not forgiving, you're not loving. That shuts down the flow of the Spirit. But it's very, very important. I want to rush to say it to you, to put it in this sermon's context, and it goes like this. God will put up with what you put up with. What you allow, listen, what you allow in your life, God's going to allow. I want to tell you, there's a lot to that. Galatians 2:20, the first part of it says this, I've been crucified with Christ. In him I've shared his crucifixion. It's no longer I who live in this life, but Christ the Messiah living in me. Now you know from what we've covered, spirit, soul, and body, that the Spirit of the living Christ, one-third of you is total, wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. I mean, he dwells in you. All right? And so we must learn to live this life by letting the Spirit of the Lord, agreeing in our soul with the Spirit of the Lord, and that makes a majority. When we agree with what the Word says and what Jesus is saying, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that causes a majority. And I want to tell you, your spirit and your soul in agreement, your mind being in agreement with the mind of Christ, I want to tell you the power of God can operate even through your body. In your body and through your body. That is just so exciting. But one of the reasons we're doing this series is because there's a tremendous amount of liberty that comes with recognizing and releasing Christ in you. It's so exciting. It's so simple. But when we practice this in simplicity, trusting and surrendering and yielding to the Lord and allowing the Lord to do it, he does it. It's absolutely so exciting and so simple. I'm telling you, Pastor Tony can cover this in children's church. But it's the practicing of it where the power is released. You don't have to try and muscle up your will or pull up, what they would say in Texas, pull up by your own bootstraps. It's you don't grit your teeth to do what Jesus says. Since you know the truth and that the full measure of Jesus is inside of you, you can lean on him. You can receive out of your spirit. And it goes something like this, you know, as sometimes people offend you, people wound you, people hurt you, people misuse you. We live in this kind of world. This is not heaven. And sometimes, you know, what we would like to do, you know, you just have to take it to the Lord. When you get wounded and hurt, run to Jesus with it. Amen. Father, you know, in my flesh, I'd like to slap them upside the head. I can't forgive them and love them in my flesh. Your flesh is weak. Okay? Your flesh wants to react. Not act, but react. Lord, I can't forgive him and love him in my flesh, but you're in me. See, that's what we've learned. Jesus is in me, full measure. The full measure of the power of God is in us. Lord, you're in me. You say I can do all things because you'll give me your strength. And Lord, just as you forgave the very people that crucified you on the cross, Lord, I believe that even though I don't feel like it, and I don't even want to in my flesh, I agree with you. I know the truth in my spirit that your love and forgiveness flows through me. And so, Lord, I choose you. Do you hear that? We use our chooser to agree with God, with what God's word says. I choose you that your love and forgiveness flows through me. Lord, I receive your love and forgiveness to these people. You're living through me right now. I receive supernatural compassion for these people. And you can do that while you're gritting your teeth. Okay? Don't wait until you feel a love chill run all around your body for that person before you practice what truth is. I choose to love them by faith, and you just say, thank you, Lord, and that's the channel you stay on. Because, you know, feelings come and want to change channels. Peter thought that he was being real generous When he asked the Lord, well, how many times do I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times a day? I might be able to work that out. That means about once every 3 hours. I might be able to do that. And the Lord said, no. Not 7 times a day, but 70 times 7 a day. That's 490 times in one day. Now, that works out to about once every 3 minutes. You're forgiving that person for probably the same thing. That's for 24 hours. You say, well, 24 hours? Yeah, if they're operating that much, wounding you and offending you that much, you're probably awake all night. And so you get the opportunity to forgive every 3 minutes. Do you see what he's saying? 490 times. Jesus is saying this, and there's no limit. Let's all say, no limit.
No limit.
Now, first of all, there's no limit in God's forgiveness to us. There's no limit in his love. His love never fails. There's no limit in God's forgiveness through us. If there's a limit that comes up, we choose it. We choose to disagree with the mind of Christ or what the Word of God is saying. Anybody listening? So it's very, very important. Jesus is speaking to us. There should be no limit on forgiving people. Don't limit the Lord in your life through unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness will limit the Lord in your life. You're taking the valve here and you're turning off the flow of the Spirit. And you're agreeing with your soul and your body here. And I want to tell you, this becomes a mess. This becomes anger and bitterness. Unforgiveness becomes bitterness. But when you choose to agree with God that, Lord, by faith, I choose to love them and forgive them, and I trust your faith, your love touch, your power to make it so that I'm not relying on me or my flesh, I'm relying on you, this opens the valve so you can receive. If you haven't experienced that, then you haven't been practicing the series. And if that be true, I may need to start all over. It's our privilege to forgive because he forgave us. Okay, so are the people in your life forgiven or unforgiven? You're forgiven, and it's your privilege to forgive others. That's the way the Christian life operates. If you're not walking in forgiveness to all people, then I want to tell you, you need to today. Because you're limiting the power and the flow of God in your life. You're limiting the Spirit of God. You're saying no to God in your life if there's unforgiveness in your life. The Lord wants you to forgive totally, as much, as many times as it takes. In your flesh, you might be able to forgive someone for some minor things once or twice or 7 times a day. Peter said, well, that's possible. I may be able to work that out. But Jesus' life is far greater than human life. It is humanly impossible to forgive someone 490 times a day. But the love of Jesus can do it. The forgiveness of God can make it so. Not only is the power of Jesus dwelling in us to do this, but I'm going to rush to say this. It's expected. This is Jesus' life. It's expected in the Christian life. Let me put it this way. This is normal Christian life. When we forgive, we turn the valve, say yes to the Lord. We're receiving from our spirit into our soul, through our body, to others. We must have our heart open to him. If you have unforgiveness, it closes your heart. I'm telling you, roof, walls, shuts down. Our heart's got to be open to him. I shared with a pastor not too long ago, and there have been some things, and things happen with pastors. I tell you, I have compassion for pastors, because they're in a position where, you know, they can get taken advantage of. And things be criticized. I mean, people that have never preached before in their life can critique and judge them on a sermon. And our nation, our society has promoted everyone that, you know what, you have a judgmental voice. Let your judgmental voice be heard. I want to tell you what the Lord said to me today. You know, they don't need your opinion. Nobody needs to hear your opinion. They just need to hear my word. So it goes against our culture, but I'm here to tell you, and I shared with this pastor, you know, you've got to completely and totally forgive, because your heart's got to be open for the love of God to flow through it, to love on those that need to be loved. And you know what? You got to have your heart open to the Lord. It means making your heart vulnerable to other people to be heard again. That's what Jesus did for us. But in order to do that, so you can love even the unlovable. You think Jesus with the disciples, all of them were so lovable? Do you think they were? Do you think there might have been one in that group of disciples that was just absolutely a toot? Irritating? Aggravating? Say the wrong things at all the wrong times? Continual irritation? Yeah, I guarantee you, 1 out of 12, surely. Might have been Judas. Might not have been. But I want to tell you, the Lord loved them all the same. The very fact that he loved Judas the same way he loved them all, I want to tell you, that speaks to us. The unlovely need to be loved in the same way. And so this is impossible humanly, but it's not impossible with God. This is the way we flow in the Spirit, is let the Spirit of God love people through us. And as soon as possible, when an offense or a disappointment comes, you go cry out to the Lord. As soon as possible. As soon as you recognize it, run to him. Something like this. Father, they just hurt my feelings bad. They did me wrong. Lord, I cry out to you. This is bigger than me. But Lord, I know you're with me. Lord, I say yes to you, loving them and forgiving them through me. Lord, hey, you see, this is humbling yourself. And I want to tell you, when you humble yourself, grace comes. All right? Hey, you turn away from self because self wants to do the Texas thing. Okay? But this is turning away from self and saying yes to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus and you humble yourself, you turn from self to Jesus, this releases the power in you. This is turning the valve and discovering that there is supernatural strength flowing in you. Hey, I'm announcing to you, we've covered it in this series a bunch of times, you have unlimited supply of God's kind of love in your spirit. Unlimited. Of course, you know I've also shared that you have unlimited power in your spirit from God. You have unlimited provision in your spirit from God. You have unlimited peace in your spirit from God. Hey, you have unlimited, all that he is right here. He's not only with you, he's in you. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us an example. I know I covered this last week, but I can't get away from it because this is such a beautiful example of what Jesus looks like in our life. Love endures long, 1 Corinthians 13. Love endures long. We could say Jesus endures long. Is that right? Because divine love is Jesus. He's the expression of love of the Father. And I'm here to tell you something else. This is what you look like when the divine love is flowing through you. This is what you look like. Hey, Tim Heath and Tim Hall endure long. Tim Heath and Tim Long, because of the love of Jesus, is patient and kind. Now, I want to tell you, when Tim Hall's not patient and kind, it means this. I'm not walking in the love of God. When Tim Hall's not patient and kind, it's saying, this is what it's saying. Hey, I'm not loving. I'm not loving with his love. When I'm loving with his love, that divine supply of love that's in us, then I want to tell you, I endure long, I'm patient and kind. Love is never envious or boils over, jealousy is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. We shared with the teens that one of the things that God hates is even a proud look. Now, hey. In our generation, we know what a proud look looks like, don't we? God says he hates that. Now you think about it. What was the enemy full of? Pride. Is it any wonder he hates pride? It's not rude. Love is not rude. I'm telling you, when you're walking in the love of Jesus, you're not rude. If you're rude, isn't that a sign that you're not walking in the love of Jesus? You see me being rude, you say, that's not Jesus, that's Tim. Jesus will probably be back in just a little bit because, you know, he ain't going to stay there. Right? Okay. Same with all of us. Am I right? So it's not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own way, or it's not self-seeking. Isn't that interesting? Because I want to tell you, the whole world operates by self-seeking. Jesus people don't operate that way. Love is not self-seeking. Matter of fact, love prefers others over ourself. Isn't that what the Bible says? I want to tell you, there's a lot of shouting going on when we started this, but it's getting kind of quiet in here. I wonder if that's a sign or a signal. I don't know, because I don't operate by those. I'm just going to go with what God said. Amen. It'll be over in a little while. Hey, his love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done it. Pays no attention to suffered wrong. Does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Love bears up under anything. Isn't that something? That sounds just like Jesus. That sounds just like us when we're walking and flowing in the love of Jesus. And we can because of what the Bible says and what Jesus paid for. He paid for us to walk in the Spirit. He paid the price for that. Let's give him what he paid for. Let's touch and receive the flow of his love. Everything comes. Hey, under everything that comes. And is ever ready. Hey, that's what an ever ready Christian is. It's better than the battery. It's full of the love of Jesus. Won't run out. Ever ready to believe the best of every person. And so I'm here to tell you, when you jump on the wagon and say, that rascal, that, you know, and they, and you know, they shouldn't, and then, hey, that's not loving. That's not believing the best about someone. That's not love. I tell you what Jesus' love does. Yes, they've blown it a number of times, and they may blow it this time, but his love in me believes the best about this person. Amen. That's a good time to say amen there. Okay, if I had a short sermon, I'd repeat it. Okay, love believes the best. So, let's just make this personal. If you have some wrong thoughts about Tim Hall, you're not believing the best about me. You just need to be loving me. Just go ahead and give that to the Lord and ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit, and you get to having those loving thoughts about me. Amen. You know, when I point at you, I got four fingers pointing the other way at me. Yeah, okay. It goes like that. It's very, very true. This is real Christianity right here. Okay, this is not saying amen and going home. Okay, because this kind of love goes home. This kind of love shows up at work. Okay? Verse 8 says this, love never fails. His love never fails. Jesus never fails. His love in us never fails. When we fail, we repent and plug right back in to what the Spirit of God is saying. That's what repentance is for. When you miss, repent. And get right back in the flow of what Jesus is saying and Jesus is doing. You don't have to crawl around on your belly for a week till the next church meeting. Okay, he's forgiven you. Get back in the forgiveness of God. We walk with Jesus. We don't walk with sin. When you fail, he's made a provision. You get right back under the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God flowing through you, and you walk in love. In your spirit, you have an unlimited ability to forgive, to endure, and to hope. Hope. Recognize your thoughts and your words. I'm telling you, when you hear yourself saying, I just can't put up with that person anymore. I'm not picking on anybody because I've heard people here say that. But it goes something like this. Hey, when you say, I just can't take it. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm at the end of my rope. What you're really saying is my flesh is out of strength. That's what you're really saying. Now, I've made people absolutely mad because a lot of times I'll smile and I'll say, well, congratulations. Now you can rely on Jesus and let the Spirit take over. I've had some folk not respond very pleasantly with that. But it's true. I'm trying to use the shock channel to shock them into truth instead of out of the flesh into the Spirit. Most causes, I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying most causes of burnout, frustration, and anger are a result of flesh living. Flesh living is because of flesh thinking. We've learned that, haven't we? Condemnation comes, and then the enemy, he'll pour on the condemnation. You see how you blew it? You see how you blew it? Then he'll back up and he'll say, now that's what you really are right there. That's the real you. He's a liar, liar, and one day his pants will be on fire. But you can't listen to that because that's not true. That's not the real you. The real you is based on what you've been saved. The Spirit of the living God dwells in you. And when you do blow it, you get right back in line. This brings honor and glory to God. It doesn't bring honor and glory to God for you to grovel around in false humility and trying to show God how, you know, how bad you are. He already knows that. You've already been forgiven. Get back in the flow of his love. That brings him honor and glory. And it also blesses your family a whole lot more, by the way. Thank him for forgiveness. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. The Bible says to continue to be filled with his spirit. And so practice continuing to be filled with his spirit. Say, Lord, I receive your life through me. I believe your word. I confess that I am filled with your abundant life. I say yes to walking in your spirit, and I walk in your spirit. I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I won't slap this guy upside the head. Okay? My little daughter Lauren shared with me early yesterday morning. No, I think this was Friday night. She shared with us about that at work. She works at a bank. And at the bank, that there's a couple of people at the bank that work with the bank that are mouthy toward her and say things that aren't nice. Could be a little jealous because the Lord's given her some favor there. And she's a newcomer. You know, could be. That sounds like human. But love's not jealous. But humans are. And so, you know, but this is really pretty sweet. She told me, she said, I sat out in the car before I go in the morning. Said, I say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Give me your words for these people today. Give me a mindset to love them. Now, I want to tell you that's real simple. But I want to tell you that's loud in heaven. And I want to tell you that's in agreement with what the Word of God says. And so the Spirit of God comes and dwells. And one of the sweetest testimony that came out of that was not a revival at the bank breaking out, but it was this. Is that she said, and when this lady came and said those words to me, she said, I was able to be quiet and not respond back. Amen. Now see, the Spirit of the living God in us, fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. Now, it takes the power of God to speak out. It also takes the power of God to shut up. Huh? Sometimes we can love people a whole lot by shutting up. And according to the Bible, we look a little smarter that way too. Okay, but here's where we are. We say, Lord, and then we start meditating on who you are and what you have in Christ. I've got the confessions from today. They were so powerful. And once again, I can't. There they are. Hey, listen to this. You hear Pastor Tony say, it is written, because, and we use that term because Jesus used that when he was defending against the enemy. Because the Word of God is a weapon of our warfare. And so this is how you agree with God. It is written. I'm a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. I'm a fragrance of Christ among both the slave and the lost. And I want to tell you what this is like. You say, well, what does that even mean? See, it is written. The enemy will come against you wanting to give you some. Stink comes your way, then the human way is to stink back. But weapon of our warfare, it is written. I'm a sweet aroma in the knowledge of Christ. You know what that means? That means you love back. You smell like Jesus. I want to tell you, when there's a sweet aroma of Jesus in a place that's even unlovely, it has powerful effect. Okay, we got people here that wear sweet smelling sauce, and I'm glad you do. Highly recommend it. But I want to tell you, some of the sweet smelling sauce you woke, whoo, that's nice. And I want to tell you, when you practice the love of Jesus, you're a fragrance of Christ to God among both the slave and the lost. Now, one of the things we tell people that are battling is that, you know, you use the term, it is written, but you also use the term, I believe. And we encourage people to take these confessions of what God says about you and say them out loud. It feels kind of silly when you first start, but I want to tell you something that's powerful for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to hear your voice, your mind agreeing with what God says about you. I believe that I'm a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. And not only that, it's very, very powerful. You see it in Psalms. The Lord loves his word so much. Why don't you love the Lord with his word? Lord. Thank you. Thank you that I'm a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. You see? It is written. I believe. Thank you, Lord. You see, it's using His Word. And I want to tell you, when you practice identifying with the Lord and identifying with Christ, I want to tell you, you see Jesus, you hear Jesus, transformation takes place when you see Him and hear Him. I believe your Word. Practice these confessions. Say it out loud. Say it often. Identify with the Lord of God and see Jesus in the Word. Your soul needs to hear you speak it. By faith, this is who I choose to believe I am, even though my body says something different. I'm standing with what God says about me. That's renewing your mind. That's releasing the supernatural life of God from your spirit to your soul, your body. When your physical mind comes into agreement, powerful things happen. You may not see it and feel it, but what happens is on the inside first. And this next series is going to explain it. But you know what it is? It's rest. You realize, I don't have to make this happen. I don't have to make this go away. I yield to Him, and I receive from Him. And I want to tell you, He does it. I want to tell you, you can't make peace come. But you can humble yourself before the Lord and surrender and agree with what Jesus says, that He is your peace, and you can receive peace. And when Jesus helps you, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and you receive peace, peace is beautiful. And it's not relying on the circumstances of change. Okay? It's inside out. Very, very powerful. Very beautiful. We love the Lord, don't we? But you can literally, when you come to the place of rest, and you'll hear in the next series, the place of rest is the place of believing. It's the place of faith. You can literally begin to hope again, because He's our hope. Not based on out here or what somebody's report card is. It's based on Him. You can endure, because your strength is not based on people's responses or how you feel. It's based on Him. You begin to believe that all the things you couldn't believe for are in your natural self. Your natural self just can't get there. Okay? But we get opportunities to practice this. I want to tell you, I've been meditating on this sermon for a while. And I want to tell you, I had opportunities to practice over and over driving back from Oklahoma yesterday. People were crazy. I'm talking cray-cray out there on the highway. I was wishing I had a badge. Okay? It was horrible. And you know, sometimes I pick at the people from Oklahoma. No, these were Texas folk going back to Texas. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. And it was crazy. I had opportunity after opportunity. Am I right? You wore out the brake on your side of the car. Had opportunity after opportunity to forgive people. Okay? One particular time, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it was only my wife and I in the car. But one particular time, a situation took place, and I had to hit the brakes and swerve a little bit. And my wife gave him a little driving lesson from her viewpoint. And she tried to encourage me. See, it's good to encourage one of them. She said, baby, it's all right, it's all right. But you're still. I ain't going to tell you what she said, but she had given him a driver's license. Did that happen? Yeah, yeah, it did. And I got to take a, and I told her, I'm all right right now. Okay, I'm all right. Okay, but we need each other. But do you understand that when you have opportunities to practice, it's still a privilege to forgive and love people? Hey, when you're a pastor, you have opportunities to do that a lot. Because some of the stuff that comes your way is based from darkness. It's attack. And sometimes people don't know that the devil's using them. It's possible. Sometimes people don't know the Lord's using them. But I tell you, the Lord can use, the enemy can use people too, you know. And so, I've had people spit on me while I was preaching. Yeah. I've had 23 death threats. Okay. One guy, one night. And see, and you know, it's possible for us to be fleshly stupid and draw criticism. But I'm talking about stuff for Jesus. A lot of this, death threats, came because I was taken up for kids and for children that were being abused. For wives, little wives that were being abused. And somebody, somewhere, need to stand in the gap and tell somebody you're wrong. And to stop it or else. Sometimes, you know, have to have some holy backbone. If you're going to really minister to people and get down where the nitty-gritty. Some pastors say, that's not our goal. You go see a counselor or just call the police. We're not involved. You know, all we do is preach. Well, ministry is more than preaching. Okay? And so it's also loving people when and where they need to be loved, where the rubber meets the road, the boots meet the ground. And 23 death threats, but I'll never forget one night there was a guy standing in my office and taken up for his wife being abused. And I'm not going to tell you how she was being abused because that's not what this is about. But I took up for her and I told him, I said, that's enough. It's over. Don't ever do it again. And he said, I'm fixing to, you know, kick you. He didn't use nice terms. That don't scare me. Okay. But he was using terms that he was going to kick me. And I said, you know, the Lord may give me the freedom to defend myself. But here I am. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get to my buddies, and we're going to come back, and we're going to, and he expressed some terms, and we're going to work me over. And I said, well, I'll stay here. Matter of fact, I'll leave the door unlocked. Okay? Now, he didn't show up, and I'm really glad he didn't show up. Okay? But I'm here to tell you, you know, I've had people threaten to come to my house and to whip me, and you know, I'm going to go get my friend. I've had people I've ministered to and poured my life into that have left and publicly, Pastor James, you know this to be true, publicly called me an embarrassment to the kingdom of God and announced to the world over the internet that I wasn't fit to stand behind a pulpit. Have prayed. Am I right? Pastor James is here and knows. There's people that have gathered to pray for me to fail and pray for this church to fail. Am I right? Well, I want to tell you, aren't you glad that we rely on Jesus and not on men's words? We esteem the Lord and we disesteem what man says. But you know what? I want to tell you, and I'm being honest, honest, honest. I live with a woman that can tell you it's so. I don't hold anything against them. I've forgiven them. There was one woman out of state. I think Tim Heath may know this. I don't know. But there was a woman out of state that called people on our church roll. And I could tell you how she got the church roll, but that ain't necessary. She called people on our church roll and told them that not only is Tim Hall, he's not just of the devil, he is the devil. And made it her ministry to call and everybody on the church roll tell her that. Okay. Rumors, lies, bad reports, you know, that comes. Every pastor has those kind of stories to some measure. But I can honestly tell you, I don't have anything against them. Matter of fact, now, this is what some people have wanted me to go chase them all down and try to love on them. Well, the Bible doesn't tell me that. Okay. But I want to tell you something. When I do come across them, I greet them, and I try to hug them. You ought to see them turn tail and run sometime. It's... excuse me, but I kind of enjoy it sometime, okay, and I'm not supposed to. Because, you know, they're not free. Am I saying anything to anybody? But I want to tell you, here's the truth. I don't horribly evil thoughts about them. You know what? If I spent time thinking through all that stuff, I would never experience light and love. Life's too short to go there. I'm about the kingdom. You can't walk in love and be on the channel of darkness. Okay, they're forgiven. I bless them. Now, let me also be honest and tell you this. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. They're forgiven. They're forgiven. I don't trust them. Okay. Hey, one particular... this was a staff member at one time, but he got on a campaign, and it wasn't just about me, it was about me and you too. I don't know if you remember this, but he got on a campaign against us, and you know, it was pretty bad and pretty sad. But I want to tell you something, you know, just forgive. We just forgive. You know, we're all about the kingdom, about progressing in the kingdom. We're not about somebody having, you know, all this. But here's the deal I'm trying to help you with. He called back. I give it credit for this because most of them don't. But he called back and said, hey, I was wrong. I caused damage to the body of Christ. And, you know, I had a wrong heartbeat, wrong mindset. And he said, it'd really mean a lot if y'all would forgive me. And it was my joy to tell them, you know what? You've already been forgiven. Not only by me, but we covered that as a staff. You're already forgiven. So be free. Go and enjoy the Lord and be free. He said, well, why don't I come back for a season? I said, no. That really not necessary. No, thank you. Thank you, but no thank you. You be free to go home and be a blessing somewhere else. Okay. I love them, they're forgiven, but I really don't trust them. Okay. All right. Hey, renewing my mind to God's word, releasing them by faith. Somebody say, not by feeling.
Not by feeling.
By faith. Loving and forgiving them. By faith, according to the word of God. Sometimes it means cold-blooded obedience, but you just are lining up with Jesus. Jesus in my spirit does this. He can do the same thing through you. Luke 9:23 says this, and we're fixing to wrap this up. Luke 9:23 says this. He said to all, if any person wills to come after me, is there anybody in the house that wants to be a follower of Jesus? Okay, I saw a few hands raised. You think I'm going to trick you with this question? This is just Bible. Okay, I'll give you a chance because heaven's looking right now and listening. Is there anybody here who wants to be a follower of Jesus? Well, there's a whole lot more folk. Praise God, I'm in the right place. The Bible says, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself, his own interest, and refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross once a week. Oh, that's not what that says. What does it say? Take up his cross daily. Can we all say it's a way of life? And follow me. Even if it means dying, follow me. Now, here's the deal. And I'm saying this to the churches. I'm just going to limit it to the states. I'm not speaking around the world. But I'm saying to the states, the United States, a lot of Christians want a Savior. Yeah, I would like to be rescued. I would like some help. Yes, 911 I'm interested in. Yes, I want a Savior. But I don't want a boss. That's the problem with American Christianity. Everybody wants a Savior, nobody wants a boss. But I'm telling you, real Jesus living, where Jesus' life flows in you and flows through you, means that Jesus is your daily boss. He's in charge. He's Lord. Everybody say, Lord. Hey, there's thousands more times that the word for God, Lord, is mentioned over the word Savior. Savior is so important. But it's expected that your Savior is your Lord. They don't want a boss. There are people that say, well, you don't know what all I've done. Here's the answer. You need to see and consider what He has done. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on Him. Let's consider what He has done on the cross for you. You see, when we see Jesus, when we hear Jesus, grace comes. Okay? Faith comes forth. It's not a matter of will He forgive you. It's not a matter. He's already done that. That's already been settled. He died on the cross one time for all. And so He's already forgiven you. The matter is this, will you turn to Him? That's the question. Not by man's might, not by man's power, also not by man's intellect. I have to say that because our nation worships education. Thank God for education. We encourage people, get all you can. Go get education. It's good. There's a big difference in Scripture between knowledge and understanding. Amen. Big difference in Scripture between knowledge and wisdom.
Amen.
Paul says that there's a type of knowledge that all it responds to is puffing up. Puffing you up. That has no effect on the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it's destructive. But I want to tell you, when you take knowledge And you receive the understanding from the Lord. The Spirit of God gives you understanding. He gives shows you wisdom. Now, I want to tell you, that's worth more than silver and gold in this earth. That's what the Bible says. So it's not by man's might, man's power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by man's intellect, but by my Spirit. Now, I'm going to sum this up out of Romans 8, and it's just the last part, and I'm just going to tell you in Tim's terms. But the resurrection life, the Spirit-filled life that we've talked about in recognizing who you are, discovering who you are, is not a funeral life. It's not a fearful life. It's not a fearful life with funeral music, is the way I want to say it. So, that's some people's view of Christianity. His life in you is an adventure. He's love-filled. It's a love-filled life. It's an exciting life. It's a relationship, fellowship-based life with Father. To the point where every day is, Daddy, what are we going to do today? Who are we going to love on at work today? How can I bring glory to Jesus today? Who are we going to love on? Who are you going to bring across my path today? How can I love on you today? Are you listening? Because, hey, when it's relationship and fellowship and you're touching Him, hey, He's continually touching our spirit, see? And He confirms in us who we really are. He's our dad, and we're His children. And He shares with us. This is by revelation. He shares with us. The Spirit of God shows us who we are in Him. And what all He's won for us, the glorious inheritance He wants us to enjoy before we get to heaven. It's important. And this is what I shared with Sandy. She's been through a lot this week. But I shared with her, identify with Christ through the tough time because good times are coming. You see, we identify with Christ through the tough times. That's good. But it's setting the stage for the good times. Don't miss the good times. The great times. Enjoy the good times. He's working you through the struggles. But understand it's preparation for the great times. Where do you get that, Pastor Tim? Hey, the Red Sea experience was a great rescue of God from the bad times. They're in the desert. The Lord provided through tough times in the desert. That's good. But it's setting the foundation. Setting the level of trusting God for the promised land. Amen. Trusting God for the very good, for the best. Amen. That's what He's got in mind. Gina, will you remember this with me? I learned quickly that when we would take teams of teens or college students down into Central America, and we'd be out in the jungle, out in the bush for a week, I learned very, very quickly that it was important for us to come away after that tough time of ministry, even though it was good. So exciting to see God work through situations and problems and touch people. But it was important to draw away to one of the keys, one of the little islands, and we would relax for a couple of days before we come back to the States. And I learned that. And part of the things that we would do during that time is I'd say, let's remember what all God did. You see? Let's talk about the victories. Let's talk about how we saw Jesus. Let's talk about how the Lord ministered to us. Because see, the tough times, hey, in the bush and God working through all kind of problems, that's the good. But it's setting the stage for the great. Don't miss the great. And the way you do that is you keep your focus on Him and you celebrate the goodness of God. Because I learned, you bring them back after going through the tough times and you bring them right back to the States. You know what you hear? Oh, it's tough. Really tough. Woo. It's so hot. We didn't have water in the most part of that day. And boy, it was just a really tough situation. And we had to war against this and war against that. And you know what? There's good testimony there. But let's hurry up and get to the best. Amen. But when we took time to rest and celebrate Him, we remembered the best. And we celebrated the best. And so when the testimonies come back, there was testimonies of the great, of the goodness of God, of the celebration of God's greatness. It was the testimonies of the best and not just the good of fighting through the warfare. Are you listening? Yeah. Do you see that, Gina? We used to do that. And it was important for the testimony coming back. It's important for your journey. Take time with Father and practice thanksgiving and celebrate the best. Here's the last thing. This is Proverbs 4. You have this. Yes, you do. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen. Everyone say that word. Listen. That's with the ear. Careful to my words. Don't lose sight. That's with the eyes. Everybody say sight.
Sight.
That's with the eyes. So you got the ear gate and you got the eye gate. See it?
Yes.
Don't lose sight of them. Keep it continually before your eyes. Continually in your ears and continually before your eyes. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. That's where the soil is. That's where the seed, the incorruptible seed, goes. Right here into the soil. If you let it go through one ear out the other, it doesn't have effect on your life. You take it and embrace it. Let it go deep into your heart. For they, verse 22, bring life. Bring life to those who find them. Life. Life. We want that life. It's Zoe life. God kind of life. And healing to their whole body. Your whole being. Soul and body. Healing to your whole being. And then he says in verse 23, what you've placed in your heart, in the goodness that God's developing out there, the Bible says to guard that. Now we've got a guard in the building. When you guard something, and you do, you guard a facility, you know what? You're there to protect. You're there to defend. And I want to tell you, you take what that incorruptible seed placed in your heart, and you defend it. You protect it. Because the enemy wants to come, according to what Jesus said, and steal it away. And so guard it, protect it. Because it determines the course of your life. Your journey is going to relate to what comes in your eye gate and your ear gate and what you do with it in your heart. Your journey is going to be a testimony of that. Life to those who find it. Transformation. He does it. Life, healing, restoration, God's favored direction in your life. You want that? God says He wants you to have it. Let's pray. Thank you for being here today. We're going to pray for people. And we're just going to take a few moments and seek the Lord. They're going to help me pray. Please come. And you're here today. There's nothing too big and nothing too small. He's designed it in simple terms, but they've got to be applied. They've got to be practiced. But he's promised that if you will seek, you will find. That if you will seek wisdom, that you'll find it. Wisdom. I'm telling you, you can take wisdom and the picture of the Holy Spirit, and they're interchangeable. You see, the ministry of wisdom, the ministry of Holy Spirit's way it's described in the New Testament, is so exciting, it's so exciting. It's God. All right, I've told you, grace is a person. Wisdom is a person. It's God. And He wants to invest and produce to you wisdom. Don't you want Him? Come for prayer. Come for ministry. Nothing too big or too small. And let's seek the Lord together. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to practice and surrender to your word. Lord, we yield to you today. And we say yes to the promises of your word. We say yes to the direction of your word. Lord, we repent from self and we turn to you. And we say yes with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Come for prayer. Come for ministry. We'll take a few moments to seek the Lord together.